Good evening and welcome to this special service, this Ash Wednesday service, at the beginning of the season of Lent. The Lenten journey from the ashes of death to resurrected life begins on this first day of Lent, which signifies a time to turn around, to change directions, to repent. This first day of Lent reminds us that unless we are willing and able to die to our old selves, we cannot be raised to new life with Christ. The first step of this journey calls us to acknowledge and confront our mortality individually and corporately. In many traditions, this is symbolized through the imposition of ashes, which we will do tonight, this placing of a cross on one's forehead. And during that imposition of ashes, you'll hear the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return," drawn from the words of Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. We are to remember that we are but temporary creatures, always on the edge of death. And on Ash Wednesday, we begin our Lenten trek through the desert toward Easter. Ashes on the forehead is a sign of our humanity and a reminder of our mortality. They're a reminder to us and our communities of our finite creatureliness, that we are not God, but we are created by God. They symbolize the dust and broken debris of our lives, as well as the reality that eventually each of us will die. But trusting in the accomplished fact of Christ's resurrection, we listen for the word of God in the time-honored stories of the church's Lenten journey. We follow Jesus into the wilderness, resist temptation, fast, and proceed on the way to Jerusalem and the cross. Our Lenten journey is one of metanoia, which means to turn around, of changing directions from self-serving toward the self-giving way of the cross. As we begin our worship, I invite you to stand and join with me in the call to worship as found in your bulletin. Please stand as you're able. I will read the part in regular, and if you would join me in the part in bold. We come burdened by regrets, trembling in our mourning. We know that the Lord is gracious and merciful, and we trust that God will lift our burdens. As one people, with all our differences, we give ourselves to God, seeking healing and redemption. In honesty and repentance, we worship the Lord and bless God's holy name. Now remain standing as we sing together hymn number 81, "Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days."
Please remain standing and joining me in the unison opening prayer.
Gracious God, out of your love and mercy, you breathed into dust the breath of life, creating us to serve you and neighbors. Call forth our prayers and acts of tenderness, and strengthen us to face our mortality, that we may reach with confidence for your mercy. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God,
now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. As we come to a time of hearing the scripture read and the word proclaimed, let us gather our hearts and our minds as we pray to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would inspire our hearts, open our minds, be with us in all that we think and say and do, that you would inspire these words that they might become living, moving, working for you. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Old Testament lesson tonight comes from Isaiah chapter 58, 1 through 12. Listen to the word of God. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, cover him and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound like a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do nothing to bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen only not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I don't know if you've experienced this, but for me, memories can be very strange. Sometimes something happens and I think that I will always remember it, and later I can hardly remember any details at all. And then there are these things that happen, that little tiny pieces that I remember very specific details about, and I have no idea why. Little things that I remember. You know, when I was little, I remember that we regularly made this trip up to, from Pickens, South Carolina, up to Morristown, Tennessee, to visit my grandparents. It was, I have no idea how long, probably 2.5-3 hours, but it went through the mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee. I remember in the car that we would sing this song, "I love the mountains, I love the rolling hills." Anybody know that one? We did it to entertain ourselves because there was no in-flight entertainment in the cars at that time. You know, Daddy would let us blow the car horn as we went through the tunnels, so that was the highlight of the whole trip. We'd wait for those two tunnels. They got farther away every time. I remember arriving in Tennessee, and I remember the smell of my grandparents' house. I actually remember the sound of their voices. I don't remember anything that they would say when we would first get there. I don't remember what we ate, that they'd probably spent long periods of time preparing for those big meals. I don't remember what the table looked like when it was all decorated and pretty, or even any specific one gift that I got for them at Christmas. But what I remember the most about their old white house, it was one of those old houses that had hidden secret rooms. And that's what I remember. They were filled with secret treasure for those of us who love to explore and imagine. They had this little tiny enclosed porch upstairs, which was probably very impractical if you lived in the house, but for children was a wonderful place to go. And my grandmother actually put one of her very old jewelry boxes out there and put all of her old jewelry, probably stuff that was broken or missing a pair, and we had the most fun playing out there. And then probably my favorite was that there was this long, narrow room, almost like a closet, but not a closet, behind one of the bedrooms. Had a step down or two to get into it. She had turned it into her sewing room. And in there, then, you had all this fabric. that she let us come in and turn into tents and make all kinds of secret places to play and to stay. I remember being upset and sad when my grandparents experienced a house fire. Someone doing roof repair left for lunch and didn't realize that their torch was not all the way turned off. And all of those treasures, those things that I remember, all of them were lost. They were ruined, if not by the fire, by the water, the massive amounts of water that came down as they put out the fire. They had to be thrown away. But from all of that, what I remember the most is that my grandmother never expressed anger or frustration or really even sadness or sorrow at the situation. And I do remember that they had to live in a hotel for I think it was 6 months while their house was being repaired. No, what I remember is that she would say to us, "It's all right. It's just things. They're just things." For her, the real treasures had not been lost. Her family, her loved ones, her faith. And her living witness taught me several things. It taught me that all of our things are just that. They're things. They decay. They're destroyed. They're lost. They become less important over time or even forgotten. They end up in a dark corner of the attic or the basement. I don't know if you've ever been cleaning out such a space and you all of a sudden find something you haven't thought about in 15 years. Well, sometimes they are found even by later generations, and they're no longer treasures for them. They don't have that emotional weight or importance. They're just things. Her living witness also taught us something about us. It taught us that all humans experience two things, birth and death. Did you think I was going to say death and taxes? I thought about it. You know, I remember one day Dan and I were in the car. I don't remember where we were driving, but we both remember this happening. We're driving along, and somebody comes on the radio, and they're promoting a supplement that they said decreased death by 75%. I know, we both laughed. We looked at each other and we started laughing because you can't decrease the percentage of people who die. You can only help them live longer or perhaps decrease the rate of death by a certain illness, which I'm sure is what they actually meant. But it is this reality that it's hard for us to talk about. The reality that all of us will one day die. And honestly, realizing that and sometimes feeling the futility of that, that humans will all one day die, may sometimes lead us to say, question to ourselves, what then is the point? What are we here for? What were we made for? You may have even seen the Barbie movie that came out a few years ago. Even Barbie asked this question in a very beautiful song, poignant song. What was I made for? And the truth is, this is a question that people have been asking for thousands of years, maybe since people became people. It's a question that we know that Christians have wrestled with. And it's also one that we can learn from the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. Because it's something that's addressed in our Book of Confessions. In the Westminster Catechisms that were written nearly 400 years ago, you probably have heard this one before, the very first question of many, depending on whether you're doing the long or the short catechism, the first question in both is, what is the chief end of man? But now, 400 years later, we would say mankind. What is the chief end of mankind? And the answer is, to glorify God and enjoy God forever. To glorify God and enjoy God forever. This is what we're made for. Worship of God, relationship with God, our Maker. Today on Ash Wednesday, we gather as a faith community, and people are gathering all over the world. As we begin the season of Lent, we consider the brevity of life on earth and also the promise of life everlasting. We consider how we might focus our attention and our lives so that we may draw closer to Christ. During the season of Lent, many times people will choose something to either lay down or take up, is how I put it, something to not do or something to additionally do, but the goal is to do something that will help draw you closer to Christ. As Will Willimon wrote, Ash Wednesday is the church's way of beginning Lent without denial. It's a play on words, because we often say it's a denial. I'm giving up chocolate, I'm giving up Coke, or whatever you give up. But he's saying we begin it without denial of the fact that we are human and we will all die. For we acknowledge the brevity of life, that all will one day pass away, but we acknowledge this not in a fatalistic way. We acknowledge it with hope. We acknowledge this with hope because we acknowledge and believe that we are God's people. We are created by God. We are loved by God. We have been redeemed by God. We are reconciled through Christ to God. In Genesis again, we read, Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. We were made from dust, but life came from God. We were not abandoned. We are not abandoned. For in our baptism, we have been claimed as Christ's own. Baptism is a sign and seal of God's action in our life. We have been called by a new name, beloved child of God. And so, beloved children of God, on this Ash Wednesday, remember that we are made from dust, and to dust we will return. But also remember that we are not just any dust. We are baptized dust. We have been named and claimed as Christ's own. We are not like the things of the world, because though we die, yet shall we live.
Hope is springing up from the salt ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us.
Friends in Christ, every year at the time of the Christian Passover, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a time to prepare for this celebration and to renew our life in the Paschal mystery. We begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We begin our journey to Easter with the sign of ashes. This ancient sign speaks of the frailty and uncertainty of human life and marks the penitence of this community. I invite you, therefore, in the name of Christ, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and penitence, by prayer and fasting, by works of love, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. Let us bow now before God, our Creator and Redeemer, and confess our sin. Please join with us in the prayer of confession, which is taken from Psalm 51, traditionally read no matter which year we are in the lectionary cycle on Ash Wednesday. I'll read the part that's Elizabeth, Anna will read her part, and if you'll join all together in the part in bold. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your faithful love. According to your great mercy, wipe away our wrongdoings.
For we have sinned against you, choosing comfort over compassion and selfish gain over self-giving service.
With delight, you knit us together in secret and gave us hearts for love. But so often these hearts lust after the empty gods of this world and cause you distress.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Have mercy on us, O God, for we tear away at your vision of shalom. You yearn for creation to flourish, but we privilege our own security over the welfare of all.
Rather than breaking the yoke, we are complicit in systems that oppress. Rather than sharing of your abundance, we satisfy our own hearts and sate our own appetites. We pass by those who are desperate when we could offer refuge or respite. We overlook those who are downtrodden when we could offer comfort or care.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Have mercy on us, O God, and transform our lives. Purge our hearts and homes, our community and country, of words that diminish and actions that harm.
Have mercy on us, O God, and renew our spirits. Draw near to us that we might draw near to you, not with superficial repentance, but with a deep desire to walk in your ways.
Have mercy on us, O God, and restore to us salvation's joy. Set us on the path of justice and righteousness, so that our light may break forth like the dawn.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Now we'll have some moments of silent confession of our sins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the Lord God formed the human being from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. And the human became a living being. Gracious God, you have formed us from the dust. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. May these ashes be a reminder that our lives are always in your hands, and that though we die, yet shall we live. And now I'll invite you forward for the imposition of ashes. If you can come forward through the middle and return on the edges, then we will, as you feel called, come forward. Friends, hear the promise of God. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Friends, the promises of God are true. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Live now as new people, free to love God and love neighbor. Let us pray. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation, that we may show forth your glory in the world by the cross and passion of our Savior. Bring us with all your saints to the joy of Christ's resurrection. Amen. Let us now join together in singing hymn number 85, What Wondrous Love Is This? A new name, beloved child of God, friends who are dust but are baptized dust, hear these words. May the steadfast love of God, the abundant grace of Jesus Christ, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.